You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Digging deeper into God's Word. You know, I was thinking about it. If it wasn't for a church like this, if I hadn't come in to Life Ministry Centre or Christian Life Centre as it was, and if I hadn't sat under Pastor Oxley, if I'd stayed in the Methodist church I was in, I would never have the passion for God's Word that I have now. It was sitting in Bible school, having no understanding. In fact, sometimes I wonder whether I was a Christian, even though technically I know I was. Sometimes I just don't know where I was at. But it was listening to Pastor Oxley unpack Revelation of all things. Brand new Christian, no understanding of the Word any way which. You know, growing up in what I would call a very social Methodist church, and sitting my first day in Bible school on a Tuesday night, going not because of the Word, but going because Chris was going and I wanted to hold her hand, so that's why I went. And it was incredible listening to Pastor Oxley for an hour and a half, non-stop. You know, I was one of those Methodist guys that you'd go in and you would say, hey, five songs, six verses, man, that's going to be a long church service. Pastor Oxley just unpacking the Word. And I couldn't believe that the things that he was saying were actually there. I didn't understand what he was talking about because it was end time stuff. But it was just incredible. And so I'm fortunate I've grown up. My sieve is not the Methodist church. My sieve is this church. It's Pastor Oxley's passion and hunger for the Word. And so, you know, when I think of what the scripture we're going to read talks about, fancy growing up in a church where the Word is not opened up, or where we're not encouraged to open up the Word. I want to acknowledge Kevin Connor. I had the ability and the joy of doing a course with him called The Methods and Principles of Bible Research with him. It took about a year. This manual, as with anything with Kevin Connor, is incredibly detailed, not, you know, 14 print, double line space, incredibly deep. And he opened up so many books and showed us how to do so many things. I acknowledge him. I have an incredible respect for the depth and the mining that he does too. And I know that Pastor Hal does, because him and Pastor Hal used to study together when they worked together. So a lot of what I've put in these notes, the simplistic notes that you've got tonight, come from those things that have come out of Kevin Connor's material. In Luke 11:52, we're going to use that scripture a bit tonight, because I'm going to show you how to open it up a bit tonight. Jesus charged the scribes of that day that had taken away the key of knowledge. In the Amplified, he says, I'm going to be very free, and I'm going to stop and indulge around a little bit, and we'll hope to get finished on time. Don't be ever worried about looking at different translations. Look at many translations. Look at as much as you can possibly look at to try and get a concept of what the scripture's trying to say. And I find, for me, the Amplified is probably the best scripture you could ever read, because it does unpack the words. But believe it or not, the Message, as you'll see in here, undoes it as well. So again, the Message is a good translation to read quickly and to have a little bit of a glimpse at something. So it says, "Woe to you lawyers," that is the experts in the Mosaic law, "for you have taken away the key of knowledge, and you did not go in yourself, and you hindered and prevented those who are entering." So that would be like saying, okay, it's only the pastors that preach the Word that can have a Bible, and it's up to us to expound the Bible to you. But we don't read the Bible. We go out and play golf all week. And so we come on a Sunday and we just share a little bit of milk with you. That's not the way it is. The Message says, "You hopeless, you religion scholars, you took the key of knowledge, but instead of unlocking the doors, you locked them. You won't go in yourself, and you won't let anyone else in either." So the scribes were the official interpreters of the sacred scripture in the time of Christ. But they robbed the people of the key of knowledge. That key would open the door to the truths of God's kingdom. And also, they themselves didn't enter in. They also hindered and banned those who wanted to enter in themselves. My passion is that every one of you in this room tonight, having finished what we do tonight, just that brief little bit that we do tonight, would have a passion to go in and to dig deeper. Today, that doesn't have to be the case.
Remember back there, they were the only ones that read, they were the only ones that knew how to read, etc., etc. That doesn't have to be the case. We all have access to the keys needed to open the doors into the truths of God. Naturally speaking, each key has a specific design and purpose. We must have the right key in the right door or else things will remain closed. And that's natural. I went the other day down to Chernside. I came out. I was reading something that I'd got out of the mailbox. I went up to this grey car that looked like mine. And the button didn't work. And so I thought, well, it must be flat. So I tried the key. It didn't work either. Then I looked around and saw the owner coming. He understood. Because my key was my car was just behind his, and my bipper worked on my key. So you've got to have the right key. You think I'm getting old, don't you? At least I can still find my car. So it is with the Word of God. There are specific keys of biblical interpretation and biblical research which work together to unlock the doors of scriptural revelation and illumination, letting us enter into the vast realms of the truth in God's Word. Matthew 23:13 says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you pretenders, you hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, for you neither enter in yourself, nor do you allow those who are about to go in to do so." So the challenge today is to encourage God's people to dig deeper, to mine the treasures locked up in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study and be eager and do your utmost. Present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analysing, accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth." I don't know about you, I love building sites. Whenever Chris goes shopping, I go with her and I stop at the building site and I wait until she comes out and I have fun. You know, to watch a concreter use a trowel and to do it so simply and so easy. You know, we did some concreting recently and it doesn't look half as good as what the concreters do because they know how to use their trowel. We were talking before church about plastering, and to see a professional plasterer at work, you know, they just get that wall so flat and smooth, and, you know, when you paint it, you can't see a join. I've got a wall at home that I did, and you can see everything in it. In fact, I've had to put a painting over it to make it look good. Okay, there's a skill about using your tools, your trade, but you only know that skill by either learning it off others and then practice and practice and practice and practice. And so, you know, again, it is with the Word of God. You're not going to get it all in one, but as you practice, as you learn how to handle God's Word, you'll learn how to unpack it. According to this scripture, the one that we've just read, we're challenged to study, to be eager and to be diligent, to do our best to present ourselves to God approved, tested by trial. That is like testing a bit of metal to see if it's pure. Now, do you notice what I'm doing right now? I'm simply unpacking a scripture. Instead of it being in a paragraph form, I'm making it in dot point form. You know, that's study. That's digging. That's slowly mining in to the word. Now, you might say that's simple. Yeah, it is. God's word is designed to be simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. We don't have to make it complicated. We just have a passion to unpack it. So we are to be workmen unashamed. So when somebody comes to inspect the work that we've done, we've got to have a bit of pride about it, to correctly analyse, to examine minutely the constitution of something, to accurately divide. You know, the priests in the Old Testament times had to accurately divide up the animals that were bought for slaughter so that there was no fat when there should have been meat, etc., etc., etc. To rightly handle, giving you some more scriptures there, to skillfully teach the word of truth, to have communication skills, to be able to make straight paths for people to walk in. One of our passions here at the moment is to encourage people to join life groups. To join life groups, we need life group leaders. To have life group leaders, you need to be able to lead. There's many people that are what I would consider could be really fantastic life group leaders, except they don't have, they think, the understanding of God's word enough to do it. You do have. You just have to do a bit of study. You've got a gift, you've got a skill. And so, you know, it's time that some of you that are not life group leaders start to think, well, God, that's what I want to do, and I'm going to start to do it. Some of the other scriptures which you can read later on, which challenge us to study God's word, are John 5:39, Proverbs 25:2, Deuteronomy 29, you can read them there. It is the attitude we have towards the Word of God that will determine what we receive from it. The following are the attitudes we need if we're going to unlock the mysteries mentioned in Proverbs 25:2. Proverbs 25:2 says it is God's privilege to conceal things, and it's the king's privilege to discover them. And there are a lot of things in the Word of God that are concealed, but a little bit of mining will unlock them for you, a little bit of discussion. And again, when you unlock something, when you mine it and you get an answer that you believe is right, don't think that you've got the only answer, because there's plenty of others that are unlocking and mining the Word of God too, and God is showing them different things. But one thing that I love about the Word of God is it's a living Word. You can read a passage, you can be fed from it, you can believe that God is talking to you, you can be directed in your paths, whatever the case may be, and it really has an anointing upon it. And then you come back a month later and you read the same scripture and you see something totally different in it. God is speaking to you. So again, people will see different things at different times depending on what God wants to show them. It's the basic doctrines that we need to make certain we stay true to, and they're really clean in the Word of God. So the attitudes that we need to have if we're going to mine God's Word, an attitude of hunger and a passion for the Word of God. You know, we sold, I think, nearly 200 cover-to-cover Bibles. I had a note from the people that we bought them off the other day that they sold 3,000 of those Bibles over Christmas time. We bought 200, nearly 1%. Is that right, 1%? I think it is. Nearly 1% this church took. What a great thing to know that so many people in our church are reading the Word of God and are going through it. That was a fantastic result. And 7%. How much?
7%.
No, it can't be. So 7%. Wow, we are better than I thought we were. Gee, what a fantastic church we have. Okay, an attitude of the love for the Word. The Word can be boring if you don't know the author. I love that thought. You know, you've got to know the author. You've got to have a passion for the author as well. An attitude of enjoyment of the Word. The more you love something, the more you'll get out of it. So if you're reading the Bible and it's a boring book. Oh, I got my way through Leviticus the other day. Man, it was tough. I've never read anything so hard in all my life. Well, make it fun. I don't know how. Get the message. Make it fun. Get a lolly, yeah. Make some treats at the end of it. You know, just think of when they're talking about all the laws and they're cutting stuff up. Think about the cuts of meat you're going to get out of it, whatever the case may be. An attitude for the respect of the Word, an attitude of teachableness, an attitude of meekness of spirit, not a know-it-all attitude. An attitude of meditation in the Word, just to sit and stop and meditate, to muse on the Word, to be able to, you know, chew it like cud. Just sometimes just sit there and just think about something that you've heard or something that touched you. Ask God, say, God, what is it that you want me to learn? Is there something that you want to teach me in this? An attitude of a worshipful spirit, an attitude of personal and practical application, i.e., God, what is it that you're showing me and how can I apply it to my life? And then there's 7 methods of mining out the rich truths of the Bible. There's word studies, and that's where you just take a word in one of the passages and you unpack it. We'll do that tonight. There's character studies. I suppose to a degree when I've been speaking over the time this year in the morning service in regard to different encounters and we've looked at different people's lives, I've been doing character searches, as it were, on those people. I haven't done exhaustive character searches because I'm looking at a purpose, but they could be exhaustive character searches. Place studies, textual studies, topical studies, passage studies. We'll look at a passage tonight as well. And then, of course, you can open up a book and look at a whole book. So as we dig deeper, there are 6 principles that will help us to gain the most from our study. And we did a little bit of this when we were talking about biblical inerrancy. You have to observe, what does the Bible say on the subject? You notice I say Bible, not scripture or not passage. You've got to look at the stream of scripture and see what the whole Bible is saying on a subject. What is the interpretation? What does it mean? As you're studying, ask yourself, what is actually being said? To whom is it being said? At what time was it written? Where was the writer? In what circumstances was that writer in? To what intent? Why was it written? What was the purpose behind it? With what circumstances were the recipients in? That's the people that it was being written to. What goes before the passage or the text? What follows the passage or the text? In short, don't take a passage or a verse out of isolation and think you know everything about it. Go back and forth and look around and see, and especially when you're looking at the Gospels, look at the whole of what the Gospels say, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and look at what all of them are saying, because they all add little bits from their different perspective of how they viewed it. And then we come to the research tools, and that's probably what we're going to look at most of all tonight. You know, we have the Thompson Chains Reference Bible. Now, when I started Bible school or Bible college and built up a library at home, and this is just a few books, you would actually sit on a table and you would have all of these books out and you'd be looking at all of them. And so I've just brought a few of them to show you what they look like. Every one of these things now you can get online. And it's an amazing thing how much you can do. And that's probably, I think, one of the most exciting things that we can do, is that most of the stuff we can do now, we can do on an iPad. You could do it on your iPhone, which is in the bag, turned off. And you can do it on a computer. So, you know, and again, it's simple. You'll see again, and I hope we won't make it too complicated, but it can be simple. But Old Trusty Bible is a good thing. This is my Bible from 1975. I love it. I've stuck it together about four times. It's written in. I know where verses are because it's coloured in pink and it's on that side up the top. And you just flip through until you find it. It's got a thumb index, which is very, very important for me because the books move around. Anyone notice that? They just don't, they're not the same place. They just keep moving around. And if you get stuck, believe it or not, there's an index at the front. So don't ever, ever, ever feel as though you don't know the Bible or you're not good enough because you can't find where a verse is. I always say to people, bring your Bibles to church if you can, so you can look it up, because an eyeful is better than an earful. But a Thompson Chain Reference was a fantastic tool for going through Bible college, because at the back of this thing is a chain, literally a chain, that goes through the whole Bible, and there's numbers, 495. 495 is the cup of suffering. It gives me all the scriptures in that chain of the cup of suffering. And so I can look up cup of suffering. Oh, seven gifts of Christ, 488, believers, rest, keys of the kingdom, power of the evil spirits, living water, bread of heaven, eternal life. It gives me the verses. But if I went into the Bible, on the side passages are the chain numbers. 3116, salvation of God. Ah, salvation of God, 3116. Look at the back, 3116. Ah, here we go. And there's 10 scriptures all written out, all ready for me there. So if I was doing a little bit of a study, a bit of research, that was a fantastic tool. At the back, a concordance. Not exhaustive like we're going to look at tonight, but a concordance with most of the main words that you would need to find in a Bible. And most Bibles have a concordance. Most Bibles have a little bit of a study line or something similar. Thompson's Chain Reference Bible is fantastic, and I think you can get the Thompson's now in a couple of other translations. So that would probably be my most favourite tool, because it's with me all the time, and when I need to find something really quick, in fact, some people who come into my office, sometimes I go to the computer and I say, oh, blow it, and I get this thing out, and I find it quicker in this than I can in the computer. So that's a great tool. Matthew Henry's Commentary. Now, this thing virtually is now alongside anything and everything you're going to get on a computer. And so, you know, one of the book or one of the programs I'll show you tonight, you know, you look down at the bottom and the Matthew Henry's is already there. But this is a commentary of the whole Bible. And so, every book, every verse has a commentary on it. And so, if you wanted to say, well, what were they really saying there? If we went to Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. See, it moves around and no thumb index. I'm stuck. And now it's got all of these X's and Luke 11. So that's an X and a 1. You see, that's how old it is. 52. Okay, so he's unpacked at 37 to 54. And he starts off, Christ here says many of these things to the Pharisees. So he's telling you where it's happening, what it's happening, why it's happening for, and all of those things. Again, Kevin Connor would say, if he was doing the Key of Knowledge right now, don't ever go to that first. Do your own study first. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you first. And then go to the commentaries and see if you're on the right tram. See if there's any other wealth or other bits of information that you can get out of that. And there's some incredibly great scholars that have written some fantastic things. To get some of the old sermons from some of the old masters is great just to read if you wanted to. And again, not very hard. Type in Google such and such sermon notes and it'll take you to Sermon Central or one of those things. And there are, I believe it, millions of sermons in there. Again, like anything on the internet, don't believe everything you read because anybody can get something up there and it might not be right. The Strong's Concordance. We're going to come back to this one. Oh, it's ripping, Chris. We're going to come back to this one in a minute, but we're going to look at it on the computer. You can see that it's been well worn. A concordance, every word in the Bible, King James, is in there. Okay, so every word, Old Testament, New Testament. How you would look up and use a concordance in the old days. What do I say when I shouldn't be saying old days? Somebody? Hey, the Dark Ages. Who said that? Thank you, Kim. Don't try and dig yourself out of it, Kim. Not even in the boring old days, but in the old days when computers weren't around, you know, if you wanted to find a verse or a passage and you knew a word, you would look it up in there and you'd look down and it would give you every time that that word occurred in the Bible. And then next to it, I can't show it to you because you wouldn't be able to see it. I can hardly see it. Down on the right-hand side, there's numbers. The numbers are either in italics or in normal way, italics meaning in the Greek, normal way meaning in the Hebrew, and so you'd know whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, and then you'd go to the back of the book and you'd look up that number and it'd actually tell you what the word came from. And it would also tell you the etymology of it or where it might have come from before that. So some words have a root word, so you go deeper and deeper. And, you know, again, what we would do is we would get a passage. We would open it up, every word of that passage. We would look at what it meant. We'd write it down on a bit of paper, and then we would actually translate that back into our sermons. You know, with a right click on your mouse button, you can go copy to clipboard, bang, it's in your Word document without even having to go there anymore. So easy. But again, what you're doing is you're actually using that. And that is probably, apart from the chain reference, my most favourite tool. We've got the figures of speech used in the Bible. There's a whole lot of things said in the Bible that we don't understand. You know, anything, you think about it, all the things that they say that you think, why would they say that? Okay, Pastor Oxy's talking at the tabernacle. We've looked at the tabernacle. We've looked at basic doctrine last time we were here, last term. All of the things that we would talk about, you would find in there. And again, it's just an incredible tool. It just helps you to understand. That, again, is on computer now. Manners and Customs of the Bible. Fantastic book. Incredible. It's even got pictures in it, you see. That's a good book. I haven't coloured that one yet, but I will. You know, again, just to understand what was going on at the period of time that happened. And then a Bible dictionary. Well, a dictionary is exactly like any other dictionary. It's just got every word in the Bible and what it means. Different to the concordance, it opens it up, gives you the names of the cities, etc., etc., etc. And sometimes, if you read it, it tells you where that actual word has come from. So, here endeth that part of it. Now we're going to get to the really, really tough stuff. The tough stuff because it might work and it might not work. Let's hope so, Andy. Can we go up onto that thing? Go onto your iMac. Push your iMac button. Andy. Unblank it. Push the iMac button. Here we go. It's all right. I can do it from here. Oh, I did it. Andy, I did it. Andy. He was so worried. You know, Andy and Matt have been helping me this week, and they've been so worried. Do you want me to do it? Can I do it? You sure you can do it? Do you know what you're doing? No. Okay, so in your book or in your notes there, you'll see Bible Gateway. You can get it iPad, iPhone. Okay, so that's the app there. That's what it looks like. And it's just a fantastic tool. Your little button there, watch me. So now I've just got KJV. If I push that now, I've got the message next to it. All right, look at Luke 52. Look at the 52 up there. Can you see that? It's as big as I can get it. Let's read it in the King James Version. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You've entered not in yourself, and entered in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go across to the message. You hopeless, you religious scholars, you took da 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 da. So Bible Gateway, fantastic thing. I'm not going to show you how to use it. Like anything with these things, the more you play, the more you know. And I don't use Bible Gateway much on the iPad. I actually use it on the computer. And I'm going to show you that in a minute because it is fantastic. Again, presenting a sermon, studying, etc. Just a quick highlight the thing, right-click, copy, bang, in your notes, straight away. Perfect thing for presenting sermons or whatever. So that is the Bible Gateway. And you'll get that at www. Okay, and you can actually download it while I'm talking right now if you wished. Now, that wasn't Bible Gateway. That was Olive Tree. Oh, no wonder I had a mistake there. That was Olive Tree, okay? This is Bible Gateway. I feel like Alan Meyer. Okay, except he does it better than I do. Bible Gateway, when you open that up in your iPad, that's what it looks like. Bit different on a PC. Go to Bible. Okay, if you wanted to search something, you would push the search button. I've typed in key there, so search. Comes up with all the references. We want 1152. Highlight that. Loading. Okay, 52 there. I want to see what that means. So I look at, hit that. Comes up over there. Everyone with me? Hit that. Little thing comes up over there. So I've got a Matthew Henry's commentary. I can open that up at chapter 11 or verse 37. I can go down and then it's got Bible themes. And so if I push key, it would give me I'll push key, and it gives me, again, just all the things on key and a chain reference there. So it's got its own chain reference in it. Again, a great little tool, easy to use, fantastic for study. And can I say, something you can play with. You know, I remember when my kids were growing up, I was trying to teach them how to budget. And I used to budget and do everything by hand in a journal. And my kids weren't into that. They didn't want to do it that way. And so we were just coming into computers at that time. So I found a very, very simple budgeting program. We put the budgeting program on the computer and my kids learnt to budget just like that because they love the technology. And so this is technology. This is fantastic. And, you know, even around the tea table, play at finding out what a word means, play at finding out where it came from, etc. A great tool, a great tool. How am I going, Andy? Am I doing okay? Very good. And then Blue Letter Bible. This is a new one that we've found. I think, Matt, you found this one for us, didn't you? Okay, Blue Letter Bible. It's all right. I don't mind. I'm learning, like you. Okay, so again, if you wanted to search something like that, you'd go there, you'd write in, let's say, Luke 11:52, search, up it comes. So down the bottom, woe unto you lawyers, just highlight that there. That one comes up there. I want a concordance on this one, and this is something that I want you to really watch now. Push concordance. There we go. Now, that's the Strong's. So every word or every main word in Luke 11:52 comes up onto your screen there. These numbers, the G379, that's the Greek. The Strong's number is a 379, and then that's the Greek word on the right-hand side. So let's look at the key. G2807, hit that. I don't know why it's doing that. He must be playing. Are you doing something? Okay, so it tells you there the transliteration, klase, how you say it. You say it klas, that's key. That's what the Greek word says. That's how you say it. And then it says a key, since the keeper of the keys had the power to open and shut doors. It tells you down there that there's six total, or six times that word is in the Bible at all. And that's what you need to know. And then underneath that, down the bottom there, I don't know why that's there, I can't help you. It's got the scriptures that's there, and it's got the Greek word. But you'll notice there it says the root word, the etymology of that word comes from G2808 up there. See it? I'm pointing. That's where that red thing is. That's it there. Okay. That means that 2807 comes from somebody somewhere else. And so if you really want to know what the meaning of that word is for that passage, not in all times, but for that passage, you would hit that. And that would come up. Oh, it's gone. And that actually says, you see, there's no more from, so you know you're now at the actual root meaning. And in that verse that we've been studying, it actually really means to shut up. So woe unto you because you have shut up. That word key means shut up. It doesn't mean open as it might in some other cases. It means that you've shut up the door. You've stopped people from being able to go into the door. And so the iPad and the iPhone, and I think the Android phones now, or the Android machines, they will have all of these things in it. There's apps everywhere. They are fantastic apps, easy to use, great to have. And for a preacher, it's disconcerting to look out on the congregation and see people with their phones out when you're preaching, because you think that they're talking to other people or texting or doing so. But most times, a lot of people have got a lot of these programs now on their machines. And I think they're fantastic tools. I think they're incredibly useful, as long as we're the master of it and they don't become the master of us. And so I encourage you to have a look at that and go to there. Okay, we're going to go now to the computer. And if I can go to that one, please, Phil. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. And this is going to be a work of art, I can tell you. Let's see if we can do this quickly. Let's do Bible Gateway. I just want to show you Bible Gateway quickly. And just the way I have my Bible Gateway set up, you can see. So I'll just type in a word there. I'll type in John. You can see how good I am at typing, can't you? John 10:10. I have mine set up so that I'm looking at multiple passages at the same time when it comes up. So John 10:10 is written in. It's searched. It's come up there. And I have five different versions. So when I'm studying, I look quickly at the five different versions. In the olden days, we used to have a Bible called the Parallel Bible. And it used to actually have four translations in it. And you thought you were just so smart, because you would open your Bible and they'd have four translations across there and you'd be able to find out what it says. Great tool, but this is even better. And I would encourage any of you to use Bible Gateway. It is a great thing to have on your PC. And you can see again, we'll go back up to Luke. So you can see again the message, the Amplified. And again, having this tool, or having the ability of looking at many references, helps us, because again, you don't have to open up as many books to try and find out meanings. And as I said before, the Message really has it made. The Message has got that in a way that you can be able to see exactly. You see, the Message actually does say, but instead of unlocking doors, you've locked them, you've shut them up. So it actually caught the root meaning of that word brilliantly. The other one that Chris swears by, my Chris, is a Biblos. And Andy, I'm not going to push F11 like you taught me, because I did that last time and it went into a spaz attack and I don't want it to do it right now. Chris loves Biblos. My attitude with Chris is that she's one of those ladies that just loves digging and digging and digging. And when she's preparing for prayer warfare on a Friday morning, she'll sit up 5 or 6 hours preparing the notes that she has for prayer warfare. And she uses Biblos, and this thing right along, all the way along there, are all of those books that I talked to you about. And you can find anything you want in there. So you just hit one of those, you type in your key, you type in the word, you type in whatever you wanted, and then down below, you've also got atlases, dictionaries, concordances, encyclopedias, thesauruses, a topical Bible. It's just a fantastic tool. I don't know how to use it properly because it's just too complicated for me. It needs a better brain than me to use it, but Chris loves it, and she does have a better brain than me. So I encourage you to look at that as well. That's in there. The last one that I want us to look at tonight is really the online Bible, and we'll do that in a minute. Just go back to your notes for a minute. I'm going to go back just to concordance, Strong's concordance, because I really just want us to quickly look at the concordance. Can you guys bear with me for about another 10 minutes? Is that okay? All those in favour say aye. Aye. Motion carried. Very well. It's always good to have a vote. The purpose of this book or tool is to list every occurrence of a word used in the King James Bible and to link it to a specific Hebrew or Greek equivalent. The book is used in three main areas: to find a reference to a partially known verse where only a word or a few words are known, to find the Hebrew or the Greek definition or meaning of the English word, to do word studies of a single word passage. So we're going to do a quick example right now just off the notes, and then we'll do one on the computer. Isaiah 56:7. Even then will I bring my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And so if you unpack that, you'll see the numbers I've got there. They're the actual Hebrew numbers of the Strong's Concordance. And so let's look at the word prayer. The Hebrew number is 8605. That's point two. The transliteration is Tef Elor. And I knew how to say that, not because I knew Hebrew, but because when you look up a Strong's Concordance, it tells you how to say it. It's actually said, Tef-i-lor. That's how it says. The etymology or the history of the word, the definition of the word, comes from G6419. So not only would you look up 8605, but you'd look up G6419 as well. It should be H there. I've got a spelling error. You can change that. The word is translated prayer, and the summary of the word would be: the word prayer speaks of intercession, supplication or petition, and can be a hymn of prayer or a hymn of intercession, supplication to God in his house. So my house shall be called a house of prayer. It shall be called a house of intercession, supplication. It will be a place where you sing hymns of supplication and intercession. So that's how you would unpack that. That's how you would actually say that. And, you know, again, it helps when you start to know those things because it gives you understanding. Example two, we're going to use the online Bible for this. And again, this is probably the tool that I use the most when I'm doing things. Now, that's what the online Bible comes up like. The online Bible, your website is there. It's free. It was put together by a group of businessmen, and you can download it and put it onto your PC. So it's not an app that needs to have the internet or wireless. Once it's on your computer, it's on your computer. And that's the part that I like about it, because no matter where you are, you know you can go deep. You can set up your desktop however you want. And again, it's too hard for you to see up there. I know that. But I have the search one. I have the cross references, all the places in the Bible where a verse might cross reference, and then I have my passage lookup, and then down below you have the different commentaries, so whether it be Gill or Easton or Matthew Henry's or whatever. So you can look up any, there's Matthew Henry's there, you can look up any note that you want, any commentary you want. And then if you wanted to, there's a daily devotion on that side. So we're going to go and look at this in projector view because I found this the other day and I thought it was fantastic. Look at that. So we want to go to... that's not the one I want. We want to go to Luke 11:52. Okay. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have... Get out of there. For you have taken away the key of knowledge. You've entered not in yourself, and them that were entering in you hindered. So that's the scripture there, exactly as you've got written. If I push the little Strong's button there, again, I've copied that straight off into these notes, so you see the numbers that come up there. And then for me, if I wanted to know what that word key meant, I just have to hit that, and it comes up. Exactly as, again, you've got written. A key, since the keeper of the keys has the power to open and shut, a metaphor in the New Testament denotes power and authority of different kinds. Now you'll see it comes from 2808. Watching on the screen, you just go to that, double click on that, and it says shut up. I'm not telling you to shut up, it says shut up, okay? To shut up, metaphor is to cause the heavens to withhold rain, to shut up compassion things. So out of that, you then come down and you can make the scripture look what you want. And you'll see that right down the bottom. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the keys of knowledge. You've entered not in yourself. And then that was the verse. And then using that word, this is what I did with it. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You have used your power to shut up knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and you and them that were entering you hindered. So in short, that word key opens up to something that's got a far more depth to it, which gives you understanding of what that actual scripture means. So, again, because of time and because it's getting a little bit complicated, just go to example 3. And I'm putting example 3 in there because this is one that Chris did for prayer warfare some months ago. And I'm doing this because I want you to see a passage search rather than a word search. Okay, this is a passage search. There's the passage, Psalm 19:7-10. And then Chris has unpacked every word. We're not going to read them all, but you can see it, law, perfect. She's gone to the Hebrew word, opened it up, written out what the word has actually said. So she's done what I did there on online Bible, but she's actually written out the words or just copied them in, taken it right the way through, as you can see every word. And then you come to the way it unpacks. And what we've done, I've left it the way Chris had it unpacked, but I've also opened it up the way that I would unpack it. So I would do it this way. The law, the direction, instruction of the Lord is perfect, that is without blemish, entire, unimpaired, converting, that is returning, restoring the soul, the seat of the appetites, the emotions and passions, the activity of the mind, the will and the character, the testimony, the witness, the evidence of the Lord is sure, established, steadfast, making wise, teaching wisdom, the simple, the statutes, that's the precepts and the commandments of the Lord, they are right, upright, correct. And so, in short, taking all of those things that we found as we looked at those Hebrew words and opening up that passage and writing it in, virtually what the Amplified Bible does, but in a bit more depth and a bit more understanding. Chris, when she does it, and Chrissy, if I get it wrong, no, you come and tell everybody. No, I will do it. God's instructions, that's his witness, his evidence, his code of wisdom, his commissions, his charge, his procedures. Is that how you're doing it? Come, give us a mic, quick. Yeah, I need you to.
I just pulled all the meanings of the words and made it read. So where we've got the law, you've got the testimony, you've got the statutes, you've got the commandments, and what that actually, that those words are actually complete, entire, like it says it's perfect, it says it's sure, it says it's right, it says it's enlightening, and then actually what the word does. So it does something to our soul, to our it makes us wise, it's right, anyway, it touches our heart, our mind, our will, our appetites, and what happens from the word, then we become restored, recovered, righteous, refreshed, wise in awe of God, so I just summarise the verse rather than...
Okay, so there's two ways of doing it. Both are right and it makes no difference. What Chris has done is she's unpacked it and she's opened it up for her to make it something that she can explain to the people that she was teaching. And again, you don't do that quickly. It takes time. I know in Chrissy's case, probably 4 or 5 hours as she studies, as she meditates, as she looks at all the words, she looks at commentary, she goes into Biblos. What we're trying to do and what I'm trying to do tonight quickly is to give you a passion to dig deep into God's Word. Okay, and we've only looked at a concordance tonight. We could look at vines, we could look at knaves, we could look at any of the tools that are there. You guys can do that. And if you'd like to do it more, if you'd like to open it up more, then I'd be very happy for us to have a separate class where we can do some of this stuff, or a number of you come together and then you can teach others. But I would love to see our life group leaders, I'd love to see those that are teaching the Word of God have a passion to do this. But for just the general use, just to get some apps on your iPhone or on your iPad and start to use it, start just to not just read the Bible but open it up quickly. And it does open up very, very quickly, as you saw particularly with the iPad before. So here endeth the lesson. I know we've done it real quick. I just hope that you've got a passion to go deeper into God's Word and to see that you can actually do it. Amen. Good stuff. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for just the incredible tools that are now available to us. That, Lord God, there might be so many bad things on the internet, but there's so many good things as well. And I pray that you would help us to just to be able to start to use these things. Lord God, I can see home groups with their iPhones and their iPads sitting there and discussing something and looking into it and digging deep into it and making researching your word fun. Lord God, your word is fun. Your word is so rich. And as we talked about mining, Lord God, I just love it when we find a nugget, when we find a bit of gold, when we find that diamond, that opal, that precious gem. And so I pray that your word would become just an incredible joy to us all, and that we'd love your word more, study your word more, seek out your word more. Father, I thank you for those who are already doing it. I pray that you would give them greater revelation, greater understanding. For those that have been fearful of doing it, who think, Lord God, like I think about myself often, or I'm not clever enough to do that. Lord, with your Spirit, you will guide us into all truth, your word says. And so if our hearts towards you, if we have those attitudes that we talked about, Lord God, I know that you will reveal yourself to us in your word. So we give you thanks now in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.